When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome to today's Integrity Leadership Call. I am excited because the pastor is in town, so that means the deacons are sitting down. Okay? We did our job last week, and now the pastor's back in town, so we're going to turn it over to him, Mr. Antonio T. Smith, Jr.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Week two or three, but the second part of chapter one, depending on what version of the book you have. We're going right into Burning Desire, and I want to be very local to the book on today. The first thing I want to tell you is the importance of burning desire. Now, let's see if we can actually, Tempest, how important is a burning desire? She did not expect me to call on her. Let's go from there.
It's everything. It's what your life will be, what your life is currently right now. It's everything. So if you want more, what is your burning desire? And if you don't know what your burning desire is, what is your life right now? That's what you have vibrated towards.
Well, that's fair. Grace, as you drive, can you give me an example or a time in your life in which you conquered something that you did not think you can do, and it flowed from your burning desire to get it done?
Yes, sir. Retiring from school in my 30s and not in my 60s. I was determined to get out of there, to get out of the classroom, because I just knew it was really time to go. It was 6 years longer than I should have stayed. But then I knew it was really time to go, and I had to go. And I tell people all the time, if I would have stayed, I was going to die. I really was. I was going to die because I was literally miserable. Not that I didn't love the kids. You know, it was just, I just knew it was time to go. And anytime you can look your principal in the face and say, if I stay another year, you're going to give me a pink slip, it's time to go. So I just knew whatever I had to do, I had to get it done so that I can go on to the next chapter of my life.
Well, that sounds like you have burning desire and you got past this. Let me see if Grace, did you have all you needed to retire? Is that what you did? Your life was so fantastic, you left?
No, sir. I did not have all I needed.
Were you afraid to tell your parents that you would be leaving what they thought was good for you?
Yes, I did, but the desire to leave was more, I don't know the word, but it was more than the fear.
Greater.
Yep. Greater, thank you. Greater. It was greater than the fear.
Interesting. 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 Monica, what about you? We're attempting to prove if burning desire is even important. Is there something, an experience that you have that the only way you got through it was burning desire, or is this full of trash?
I think mine's actually similar to Grace's. When I left corporate world, and it was a moment that I had when I fully understood my P&L and how to read a P&L, and I started paying attention to how much money was truly coming, or let's put it this way, how much money I was made bringing in for someone else compared to what my salary and bonus and commissions were. And realized that without me doing what I was doing, they would not be making this. So I was like, why am I here doing this when I could be doing the same thing for my own business? And I at that point, of course, the fear set in with, because they tell you, you have benefits, you have all this. I knew I was losing all of that. But after seeing those numbers, I didn't care. I was like, I'm fine to lose all that because I'm going to just go, now that I know how to read this properly, I'm going to just go do that for myself. So it was the same situation, but I remember sitting there that day and being like, I cannot believe these numbers. It's crazy.
Well, I tell you, that'll do it. Looking at other people, get what you should be getting, and you're responsible for why they're getting it, and also responsible for why you're not getting it. That'll do it. If that don't create a burning desire, I don't know what will. Let's see. Phil, you're a wise man. Give us something here on burning desire, something you couldn't have did, but you got it done because of it.
Well, everything that I've accomplished in my life. If I didn't have a burning desire, I didn't accomplish it. But because I had a burning desire, I did. From the moment when I was 6 years old and I had three Italian women say that I was the man of the house. So I had a burning desire to be the man of the house. When I was 14 years old and cleaning toilets for 80 cents an hour, I wanted to do it so well that eventually Jim Neer, who eventually was president of Wendy, told me I was good because I had nobody in my life telling me I was good. My home wasn't telling me I was good. School wasn't telling me I was good. And he told me I was good. When I talk about the sales I made in Waverly, Ohio, the $500,000 worth of bank stock in 5 weeks, that was it. That was due because I had a burning desire. When I owed the IRS $50,000 in back taxes, that if I didn't pay them, I was out of business. Then I had to have a burning desire to complete that. So when I look back, when you, it was interesting when you first said it, I started thinking about it. Then I said, well, everything that I accomplished because I had a burning desire. And everything that I didn't accomplish, I didn't because I didn't have a burning desire.
Come on, man. You are talking. Man, that last, I ought to make that a book, the last thing this man just said. He just gave me goosebumps. When I think about it, everything I ever accomplished came because I had a burning desire. And everything I did not accomplish came because I did not have a burning desire. That's not just relatable, that's painful. It's painful to think about all the stuff that I wanted but didn't get because I didn't have a burning desire for it, which makes me spiritually know I didn't really want it, Adrian. Because if I wanted it, I'd have got it done. How many of you have bought a home and you had no idea how you was going to get that home? I'm telling you, okay, all right, come on. Come on, y'all talk in this place. Because that right there is, it's hard to buy a home. Tippis, we're going to start off with you. Come on, take us through some of this burning desire stuff.
So actually that started for me when I was like, 12 or 13. My mom was a single parent, me and my brother. And I remember that was like the first time I saw my mom skip a meal so we could eat. Uh-oh. And like she, to this day, she doesn't know. I saw her cook for me and my brother and tell us that she wasn't hungry, but it wasn't that she wasn't hungry. It wasn't enough food for three people. So we ate whatever it was that she cooked. She went in the room and ate a bowl of cereal. And that day I told myself I would never, ever, when I grow up, I would never let my mom skip anything to take care of me. I would skip stuff to take care of her. Fast forward to 3 years ago, I put the idea in her head about we should buy a house. And she was like, oh, I'm not ready. I don't know if I want a house. And I kept saying, we should do it. I want to do this for you, or with you. At first, it was with you. And we started. And the first time got denied because on paper, didn't qualify for a house. On paper, my credit wasn't good. On paper, her credit wasn't good. Just wasn't the right time. Then we met someone else who introduced us to a mortgage broker. And I called him one day at work and was like, look, I need to do this for my mom. Because it's what I've always wanted. It's on my wall. I meditate to it every day. And it's the only thing that I could think about. I want my mom to have a house that's hers, that she feels comfortable in, that, you know, for the rest of her life, if she chooses, it's hers. And once I put my foot down, stuff started happening. Once I decided that this was the house, this was the lot, this was the number of bedrooms that I wanted, I wasn't going to let my mom sacrifice. I didn't want her to compromise. I didn't want her to settle. I wanted her to get exactly what she wanted. So I made her sit down and tell me her burning desires without calling it a burning desire, and made it mine, right? So I asked her to list every single thing that she wanted in the house, what color, how many rooms, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, what you want the kitchen to look like, what you want the backyard to look like. And I made her write these things down. I took a picture of it, printed it out, put it on my wall. And every day, every morning, every night, I told myself I was going to make that happen. We're now in a house. And while I say it's mine, I did it for my mom, because I want my mom, like I said, not to have to sacrifice for me and eat a bowl of cereal so I could have a dream life. I just wasn't going to do that, because for 18 years, my mom was the parent and she did sacrifice. And I don't feel like I owe it to her. Like, she didn't request it, but I feel like if someone sacrificed so much for me and I have the means and the determination to make it happen, it's the least I could do for her. So now she got the house. The next thing is, I don't want my mom to worry about anything. So guess what my new burning desire is? It's to completely financially take care of my mom. Right now she's retired. I want her to stay retired because she enjoys her retired life. So the house was the first move. I'm taking care of her financially, and every day that's my motivation. So I'm saying all that to say I got denied, right? Because my credit wasn't great. Yes, I co-founded this company. Yes, on paper I'm supposed to look good, but when it came down to crunching the numbers, I got denied. I got denied twice, actually, but it wasn't until I said, I'm not taking another no on this. It wasn't until I said, yeah, this shit is about to happen, that shit started happening. And y'all don't know, like 2 months before closing date, something happened and I was about to get denied again. So here I am watching this house get built from the ground up, taking pictures, sending it to Antonio and Deanna and Grace and Shannon and everybody. Excited, and 2 months before closing date, we run into a problem. And my mom was frustrated, and she was ready to walk away, but it wasn't her battle. It was for me. It wasn't for her to figure it out. It was my burning desire to take care of her. So I pushed through. Yeah, I was frustrated. Yeah, I called Antonio, and I was like, man, I don't know what the hell to do. And I didn't. But I knew what I knew what I wanted, and I knew that my feet were planted where I was standing. And every day I would drive by the house that was being built that I was told I could no longer afford, and I declared that was mine. I declared that me and my mom would live here, and she would be happy, and it would be decorated the way that she wanted to. And maybe like a week before closing is when we finally got the okay. But for 2 months after putting in so much money, I was told no. Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was frustrating. Yeah, I called Antonio. I was like, look, man, I don't know what to do. I just need somebody to vent to. But I remembered my burning desire. I remembered why I got started, and I didn't let that stop me. And that's it.
Well, I thought I needed other people to tell stories. We don't even need nobody. We just, yeah, at least. So you got denied. Yeah, I ain't need to tell nothing. So you know what? I'm going to cool that fire off a little bit. Oh, you go ahead, Phil.
I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but big deal, I was born in trouble. Every home that we've ever had in my 40 years of marriage with Susan is because she had a burning desire to create a home.
Wow. Wow. Did I hear that?
And as I'm sitting here, standing here, packing all day long, I had another burning desire.
Talk to me.
Mainly for health reasons, to get out of our current situation, which I've been, you know, we would have been out of before the pandemic started, but the pandemic started and we've been trapped in a suffocating, you know, 85 degrees every day.
Yeah.
Only water in the tub. And I've been hauling water. This is what I do every day. And along with a whole lot of other issues in here. So we are moving. So in less than 2 weeks, and we're just now started, and we're dealing with three sets of people's stuff, and most of it's not our stuff. And so it's going to be a huge undertaking, but we are moving to the Villages. We're going to be renting a place and then, you know, selling our place here as is, as you know, Antonio, how we talked about that after we move out. And then we're just going to have to go with.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
The flow from there. But the thing is, every house that I looked at there for months and months, then when the, you know, trying to be able to purchase and all that, I watched them go up, up, up in price. I watched them disappear one by one there because people there that, you know, rent them were buying them all up to rent. But then the rents went away. Everything was gone.
Wow.
And one morning I got on and I'm like, God, if there's just something, you know, and I scrolled and scrolled, page six. There was one there and it was like the exact kind I wanted. I couldn't even believe it.
Wow.
And so I filled it out. We started talking to the guy. And not until we got the rental agreement did I notice on there that it was the wrong address. And it wasn't even, the thing that I saw was like 90 days old. And this guy hadn't even put it up, but somehow they attached that with his name. Neither one of us have yet to figure it out.
Wow.
So that was just, I believe, meant to be. And, you know, at least now we'll be able to feel safe and breathe and heal. And, you know, be in a better place, and then we'll see what happens with all the other stuff.
Antonio, you'll love this. Yeah. Be in a community that's dedicated to 55-year-olds and older.
Wow.
That has 180,000 people in it.
Wow.
Think that's a pond we might want to do some fishing in?
Yeah, we're fishing. Because a lot of the people there, like you have said, are hungry to do something, and so and we have a lot of friends that live there, so we'll have that support, and we just will feel better and safer. And it was never our intention to be here, let alone be in Florida, but at least we'll be at the edge of the state and be able to get out quicker. Yeah. We're not in South Florida, you know.
No, that's amazing.
Be in South Florida. So, you know, just pray for us for the next couple of weeks. But that was my burning desire.
Yeah, it was.
Because of survival. Mm. And, you know, a mother will do anything. A mom, a woman.
You ain't lying.
You know, to get it done. I've always been whatever it takes to get it done. I plow through. I do stuff, you know, physically. It doesn't matter. I just do everything. No matter what it is, I can do it, and I'll push through it one way or another. And so that's what I'm doing. And we're excited because, you know, we feel like we'll be able to do camera stuff there. And we've already got visions of how we're going to do everything for, you know, for ATS and all that and our brand. And so it's going to be fun.
It's the 55 and year older division of ATS.
Yeah,
capiche. That'll work, man. So that you know what, that inspires me to do this here. Got the wrong thing up.
I didn't want to rent, but that's, you know, so be it. That's what we got to do. You got to do what you got to do.
Just
sit here and do nothing. No.
It's less stress, and you got other people doing your yard, and you got all that. It's
gonna be good. If you read Kawasaki, your home is not an asset.
There you go. And I rent where I live anyway. So
he suggests that you rent because it doesn't produce revenue.
Yep. It's a brand new place too. It's brand new urban area.
Oh yeah.
I like the whole urban theme that they have. There's three others, and they all have a different theme.
Right.
And so we're in the brand new urban, which they didn't have. So it's going to be a good move for us, I pray.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. That's a perfect segue into this.
One of my favorite stories from the whole of Think and Grow Rich is the story of Edwin C. Barnes. This is the guy that had absolutely nothing and was really in a desperate place.
I love his story because he just saw one thing. Like, he had a vision for what he wanted and he would not settle.
The story goes of how he approaches Thomas Edison after traveling across the country with nothing in his pocket, literally nothing in his pocket, to go to the greatest inventor probably in history and say, I want to go into business with you.
Mr. Edison. Mr. Edison, I'm Edwin C. Barnes, your new partner.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. How do you do, sir?
Yes, how much for a ticket to Orange, New Jersey?
$16.40.
Yes, I'm here to meet with Mr. Edison.
Do you have an appointment?
No, but tell him that Mr. Edwin C. Barnes is here to meet with him and that I said he'll be very glad to have met me. Thank you.
No. Tell him I don't care. We are not buckling. Do whatever you have to do.
So you're the man I will be glad to have met, are you?
Yes, Mr. Edwin C. Barnes.
And what have you invented, Mr. Barnes?
Nothing, Mr. Edison.
You're not an inventor?
No, sir, I'm a businessman.
And your aim is?
To be your partner in business, sir.
You're not looking for a job?
Sir, I will take whatever job you have to offer, but my ultimate goal is to be in partnership with Mr. Thomas A. Edison.
You seem pretty sure of yourself for a man who hasn't invented anything.
I have something far more powerful.
And what might that be?
I am not interested in anything other than this one goal, and I will do whatever it takes to get it.
You know, I turn away 100 men every week.
I am not at all surprised.
And most of them have invented some darn contraption or other, electric chicken plucker, a automatic pen refiller. That one cost me a shirt. And you stand here with nothing.
Oh, sir, desire's not nothing.
I guess not.
I have vision. I believe it will come true one day, and I will stick by that. However long and hard the path.
I've learned over the years that when a man desires a thing so deeply that he's willing to sacrifice his entire future on a single turn of the wheel just to get it, you should never bet against that man.
So where should I start working my way up?
Tell Mr. Burroughs to start you in the stockroom.
Thank you.
No.
Demand.
No.
No market.
No.
It is not how much it costs, gentlemen. It's how much time and manpower is saved by this dictating machine.
I don't think my region's gonna go for it, Mr. Edison.
Your region is New York.
Besides, it doesn't save manpower. It saves women's time. And secretaries are 10 cents a dance.
I believe I can sell you a dictating machine, Mr. Edison.
In New York?
Every city in America. One day, every office and every town's gonna have one of these. Time is money. When you save one, you make the other.
Even women's time?
No such thing. Time's time.
What's this?
Plans. To sell your inventions.
This is a marketing plan. Barnes. I'm giving you the job of head of sales of the Edison dictating machine.
For the whole region?
For the country. I'll have him draw up a contract.
You won't regret it.
And you won't be riding any more freight trains.
As he had envisioned, Edwin C. Barnes became the business partner of Thomas Edison. Under the slogan, built by Edison, installed by Barnes, their partnership lasted more than 30 years and made Edwin C. Barnes a very rich man. But more importantly, he proved the power of desire.
Ooh, that just fires me up. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that was nice.
Can somebody please say something right there? I need somebody to shout.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I have to watch that whole thing.
Yes.
So, it was like, okay. So Tempest was Edwin C. Barnes, and I heard it when she was talking, and it came to me when she was talking as I was driving. She said when she put her foot down and she decided that she was getting a house for mom, then she, her words, shit started happening. Okay, this shit was gonna get done. Shit started getting done. Same thing with Edwin C. Barnes. He made a decision that I'm going to go and work with Edison, not for him. He'll start, he said he'll start there, but he decided and he told him, I'm gonna work with you. So, same thing. Burning desire starts with your decision, and nobody can sway you from that decision. When I decided I'm not teaching anymore in the classroom, y'all see what happened. I'm now 3 years in, not teaching in the classroom. So those are my thoughts.
That's it. Those are good thoughts. Those are good thoughts. Let me tell you my, I got a lot of favorite things of Think and Grow Rich, but this is my ultimate favorite. I don't know what chapter it is in your book because so many different versions, but I want to talk about a 50 Cent lesson in persistence. That's my very favorite. And I'll tell you why. It's because when I realized the secret inside of Think and Grow Rich. Now, there's many people guessed it. My guess is Napoleon Hill died before he could reveal it. But shortly after, Mr. Darby received his degree from the University of Hard Knocks and had decided to profit by his experience in the gold mining business. He had good fortune to be present on occasion that proved to him that no does not necessarily mean no. One afternoon, he was helping his uncle grind wheat in an old-fashioned mill. The uncle operated a large farm on which a number of colored sharecroppers farmers lived. Quietly, the door was open and a small colored child, the daughter of a tenant, walked in and took her place near the door. The uncle looked up, saw the child, barked at her roughly, "What do you want?" Meekly, the child replied, "My mammy said send her 50 cents." "I'll not do it," the uncle retorted. "Now you run on home." "Yes, sir," the child replied, but she did not move. The uncle went ahead with his work, so busily engaged that he did not pay enough attention to the child to observe that she did not leave. When he looked up and saw her still standing there, he yelled at her, "I told you to go home. Now go on, I'll take a switch to you." The little girl said, "Yes, sir," but she did not budge an inch. The uncle dropped his sack of grain. He went to pour into the mill hopper, picked up a barrel stave and started towards the child with an expression on his face that indicated trouble. Darby held his breath. He certainly understood that he was about to witness a murder. He knew his uncle had a fierce temper. He knew the colored children were not supposed to defy white people in that part of the country. When the uncle reached the spot where the child was standing, she quickly stepped forward and one step looked him into the eyes and screamed at the top of her shrill voice, "My mammy's got to have that 50 cents. The uncle stopped, looked at her for a moment, slowly laid down the barrel stave on the floor, put his hand in his pocket, took out half a dollar, and gave it to him. The child took the money and slowly backed toward the door, never taking her eyes off the man whom she just conquered. After she had gone, the uncle sat down on a box and looked out the window into space for more than 10 minutes. He was pondering with awe over the whipping he had just taken. Mr. Darby, too, was doing some thinking. That was the first time in all his experience that he had seen a colored child deliberately master an adult white person. How did she do it? What happened to his uncle that caused him to lose his fierceness and become as docile as a lamb? What strange power did this child use that made her master over her superior? These and other similar questions flashed into Darby's mind, but he did not find the answer until years later when he told me the story. Strangely, the story of this unusual experience was told to the author in the old mill on the very spot where the uncle took his whipping. Strangely, too, I had devoted nearly a quarter of a century to study on the power of what enabled an ignorant, illiterate colored child to conquer an intelligent man. In 2008, I first found out about Think and Grow Rich. I never knew it existed. It was not in my frame of reference. Then I never in my life. I was at a seminar with Jeffrey Combs. He brought the book up and I got it on CD. This is when people were saying library on wheels. I got it on CD and I burnt it. feel I had no idea that I was never listening to the whole Think and Grow Rich because whoever burnt it only burnt one side of the tape. I thought it was the whole book. I thought it was. For about 5 years, I read that book, which I thought was the whole book, over and over. And I kept getting that story, and I couldn't get it. And at the very beginning of the book, Napoleon Hill says, there's a secret in this book. And if you're ready, it'll jump out at you if you have the first part of the secret. And I never found it. And in 2015, it dawned on me what the secret was. Now, this is me. Can't say it with proof because he never reveals a secret. And he kind of died. But I believe that if you are not willing to die like this little girl for what you're going to do, you're not going to get it done. See, Tempest was willing to die when she looked at her mama's eyes and saw the sadness. When the denial was not as strong as death, Tempest got that house. I truly, truly believe this. And after this, once I start realizing this, Monica, I start changing my words to now it's just normal. I don't do anything unless I'm willing to die for it. And I am willing to stand flat foot. You come in with a barrel stave. By God, I tell you, I will die before I ever fail in creating the very last thing that I have to do is create permanent salaries for the people who follow me from the beginning. And my feet are planted in the ground. No matter how bad I look, no matter how tired I get, my mammy needs that 50 cents. And if you are not willing to stand against your oppressor, whatever that may be, your credit card debt, your health, the sickness in your body, whatever is threatening you not to move forward, then you will not get what you desire. Because only those who are willing to go into the very cave that is supposed to kill them walk out with a treasure. This little girl, plus the story right before this, 3 feet from gold, with the very Mr. Darby, did not get the money he needed because he did not have the desire to drill 3 more feet. Every time you've ever quit, you did not have the desire to go past death. Every single time, you didn't get that house. You didn't get that. Whatever you're going through right now, I don't know if it's rent. I don't know if it's love. I'm not sure what you're fighting for. But if you fight and you're not willing to die in the ring, you're not going to win. It's not going to happen. What's going to happen is you're not going to get that wife. You're going to get somebody you got to settle for. And I didn't come here. Jaquita, I can't settle no more. I'm not going to lie to you. Grace, I can't do it no more. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't. The idea of getting half of what I wanted, I'd rather be dead. And they look at me when I talk like this, Monica, and they say I'm crazy. No, y'all crazy. Because I can't handle underachieving another moment. I swear to you, on my kids, on my legacy, on my kids as a living brief, I swear to you, I have not gone to bed with energy in nearly 15 years. If I got energy, I'm not laying down. If I woke up broke, I'm not going to sleep. I do not go to bed and then scroll through my phone for an hour so I can get to sleep. 5 minutes in, I'm dead to the world because I will die empty every day. I die empty. I refuse. If you laid out in the bed and got energy, you did not do enough today. Your dreams dreamed about you. You did not dream about them. Burning
That's
desire.
That's a statement right there.
Real talk. If you do not have burning desire, you ain't getting that house. Please don't confuse you wanting stuff with being willing to die for the stuff you want. Those are two different emotions. Some of y'all want stuff because you're spoiled. That's not strong enough. That's not strong enough. You have to want it, because if you don't get it, you won't see tomorrow. Man, if you're not fired up right now, I can't help you. Like, there's absolutely nothing tyranny that I could do for anybody that can't get fired up for their own dreams. I was listening to a video one day. Elon Musk, it was an interview. Elon Musk, hold on, I might be able to find it. Hold on, let me see if this, I'm gonna see if I can find it. Nope, can't find it. I was watching an interview and Elon Musk said something. He wasn't even trying to be like, he wasn't even trying to say nothing smart. It was right before the failure of SpaceX. They had one more shot. Elon Musk was sleeping on couches. Billionaire, all his money in SpaceX. Man, y'all hear me well. The man say, well, how did you keep going? And Elon Musk looked this interviewer dead in the eye and said, if I have to motivate you, you're doing the wrong thing. Y'all, I don't know what your business is. I don't know what your dreams are. But if I gotta motivate you to do it, you're doing the wrong thing. You're doing the wrong thing. Because I promise you, I don't need no motivation to wake up for ATS. I don't. Go ahead, Monica.
He actually says that a lot, because a while back when he came on Clubhouse, I was in the room.
Wow.
And he said that too. He goes, if they said something about entrepreneurs, and he says, if you need to be motivated as an entrepreneur, don't be an entrepreneur.
you're not an entrepreneur.
Oh, they said, what words do you have for entrepreneurs to motivate them? He said, if I have to give you words to motivate you, you shouldn't be an entrepreneur. And I was like, dang.
That's so real though.
That's so true. You know, when you say that, everything in our business, everything you said, every day we got up willing to die for, because you know, every day was, you know, there was always something, and it's still, you know, it's always like that. That's part of being an entrepreneur.
You ain't lying.
Yeah.
You're not lying at all. In fact, something telling me to do this. I'm going to go ahead and do it.
...to orbit and successfully brought it back to the Earth. The United States, Russia, China, and Elon Musk. Mr. Musk is a wealthy internet entrepreneur who has vowed to revolutionize space exploration by bringing down the astronomical costs. And that can't happen fast enough for NASA, which retired the shuttle last summer and now has to pay its old rival, Russia, to fly American astronauts into space. Musk is one of the contenders vying for a NASA contract to build America's next manned spacecraft, a contest he believes he has the right stuff to win. When the final shuttle mission ended last July, for the first time in three decades, the United States had no way to launch astronauts into space. It was the end of one era and the beginning of another. Instead of NASA designing the next manned spacecraft, the White House decided that private industry should design, build, and fly it, opening space to commercial development. One of the companies vying for that contract is SpaceX. Elon Musk is the founder and CEO.
Is what we are experiencing at this moment in time the turning point in man's reach for space, going from governments to private companies like yours?
I think we're at the dawn of a new era, and it's I think it's going to be very exciting. What we're hoping to do with SpaceX is to push the envelope and provide a reason for people to be excited and inspired to be human.
Musk is 40 years old, a naturalized American citizen, and reportedly worth nearly $2 billion. He isn't your typical corporate CEO. As a teenager, he wrote computer games in his native South Africa before immigrating to the U.S. and to Silicon Valley, where he was one of the most successful internet entrepreneurs, the co-founder of PayPal.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Elon Musk!
Despite a chorus of skeptics, Musk built a car company called Tesla that turns out 5,000 high-end all-electric cars a year. Another Musk company sells solar power systems. But his lifelong passion is space. And when eBay bought PayPal in 2002, Musk started looking for ways to launch his new fortune into orbit.
I went to Russia to look at buying a refurbished ICBM, which is a very trippy experience. It was very bizarre. And when I tell people that, they're like, what?
Musk made three trips to Russia trying to buy an intercontinental ballistic missile called the Dnieper. His plan was bizarre. Put a greenhouse on the rocket, land it on Mars, and beam back the pictures.
It'll get people really excited, and that would recharge human space exploration. That was my original idea.
You just wanted to get people interested in space again?
Yes. Yes.
Capture the imagination?
Yes. That was the idea.
Turns out the Dnieper was so expensive, his idea never flew. So Musk decided that the only way to get an affordable rocket was to build it himself. And he started SpaceX.
The odds of me coming into the rocket business, not knowing anything about rockets, not having ever built anything, I mean, I would have to be insane if I thought the odds were in my favor.
Why even begin?
When something is important enough, you do it even though the odds are not in your favor.
How much of your personal fortune have you poured into this?
$100 million.
$100 million into something that you did not believe would work at the beginning?
Yes.
Musk truly believes that low-cost space exploration is essential to the survival of mankind.
I think it's important that humanity become a multi-planet species. I think most people would agree that a future where we are a spacefaring civilization is inspiring and exciting compared with one where we are forever confined to Earth until some eventual extinction event. You know, that's really why I started SpaceX.
SpaceX is housed in a sprawling factory near Los Angeles where fuselages for Boeing 747s used to be built. From its beginning 10 years ago, its goal has been revolutionary change in rocket and spacecraft manufacturing.
Now, tell me, what's that big piece right up there?
That's the second stage of a Falcon 9 rocket.
Instead of multiple companies building parts all across the country, SpaceX builds most of its rockets and spacecraft in-house, based on Musk's belief that it's more efficient and lowers costs. 1,400 engineers and skilled technicians work here, building engines, rockets, space capsules, creating mostly from scratch the thousands of components that are the guts of a rocket.
So what that means is raw metal comes in, and then we build the engines, the airframe, the electronics, and we integrate all of that together And that's all done more or less under one roof.
Metal comes in one end of this factory.
Yeah.
Spaceships come out the other.
Yes.
Final assembly takes place at the Cape Canaveral launch pad.
If the margin's there and we don't then have margin to the fourth power, then it's fine.
Musk has college degrees in business and physics, but SpaceX is his first venture in aerospace. He bills himself as chief designer and chief technology officer.
How did you get the expertise to be the chief technology officer of a rocket ship company?
I do have a physics background. That's helpful as a foundation. And then I read a lot of books and talked to a lot of smart people.
You're self-taught?
Yeah. Well, self-taught, yes, meaning I don't have an aerospace degree.
So how did you go about acquiring the knowledge?
Well, I read a lot of books, talked to a lot of people, and have a great team.
His team is a mixture. There are newcomers, mostly 30-something engineers, some of them straight out of college, and then there are the skilled technicians and aerospace veterans. Former NASA astronaut Garrett Reisman spent 3 months aboard the space station and flew on one of the final shuttle missions. He was brought in to help oversee the company's manned space work.
You know, I'm curious, you have so much background in engineering. You could have easily gotten a job at Boeing or at Lockheed, but you came here.
If you had a chance to go back in time and work with Howard Hughes when he was creating TWA, if you had a chance to be there at that moment when it was the dawn of a brand new era, wouldn't you want to do that? I mean, that's why I'm here.
And that's why most of the engineers we met are here. Building spaceships is the chance of a lifetime.
If you reach the point of having a successful manned flight, what will you have proven?
We're not doing it to prove anything. we know it can be done. We're just trying to do it a little bit differently, a little bit faster, and to push the fence a little bit farther out.
And then we can all go, I mean, I want to go into space. I assume most people here do as well.
How many want to ride? Okay. Everybody wants to go.
I'm not so sure.
First stage
Four,
engine sequence initiated.
3, 2, 1.
4 years after starting, SpaceX rolled out its first rocket, an unmanned booster called the Falcon 1.
Falcon has cleared the tower.
But the first three test flights failed to reach orbit.
We are hearing from the Launch Control Center that there has been an anomaly on the vehicle.
When you had that third failure in a row, did you think, I need to pack this in?
Never.
Why not?
I don't ever give up. I mean, I'd have to be dead or completely incapacitated.
It turned out that the third failure was caused by a 2-second glitch in the timing. 8 weeks later, Musk bet the company on another flight.
We have liftoff.
And this time around, everything worked.
Perfect.
If that fourth launch hadn't worked, that would have been it. We would have not had the resources to mount a fifth.
You couldn't have gone out at that point.
Yes, death would have been, I think, inevitable because we did not have the resources to mount a fifth launch.
This is a tricky business.
Tricky. I wish it wasn't so hard.
The story will continue after this.
You thought BMW was the ultimate driving machine, but it's also the ultimate...
In 2010, SpaceX tested a larger, more powerful 9-engine rocket called the Falcon 9 and an unmanned cargo capsule known as Dragon. It was the first privately developed rocket designed to carry cargo and eventually astronauts to the space station.
I don't even want to teach them all.
Antonio,
let's talk. Yes, sir.
I had a vision of having us being on 60 Minutes.
Wow. As I just sat here watching that for the first time ever, I was just saying, I'm going to be on 60 Minutes. On my mama, I was just saying that in my head. Yeah, I don't even want to teach them. This man said, I wrote down two things that I'm in. I don't know if y'all saw my reactions. I just couldn't hold my peace. If something is important enough, you do it anyway, even if the odds are not in your favor. And man, let me just rewind this one part. Y'all. Hold on, man, because I can't. God, dog, he taught the whole class. Took him one quote to do what I got to do in 2 hours. Golly, man.
Perfect.
If that fourth launch hadn't worked, that would have been it. We would have not had the resources to mount a fifth.
You couldn't have gone on at that point.
Yes, death would have been, I think, inevitable because we did not have the resources to mount a fifth launch.
This is a tricky business.
Tricky. I wish it wasn't so hard.
Hold on, right there.
It's been an anomaly on right the here. Vehicle.
When you had that third failure in a row, did you think, I need to pack this in?
Never.
Why not?
I don't ever give up. I mean, I'd have to be dead or completely incapacitated.
It turned out that the...
I'm done.
Get it, done or die.
I'm done. I can't say nothing else. Go ahead, Phil. I am absolutely done.
Our last class, we asked people to fill out the 6 steps on quitting money. You familiar with the 6 steps on Think and Grow Rich?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I did it, but I didn't do it as well as I would like. So I would like to have us make a commitment that next Thursday, every one of us will have filled out our 6 steps to share with the group. And if you did do it and you like to share now with you, I don't want to deny you that opportunity because you did the assignment and you should be honored for doing the assignment. I did the assignment half-assed. So I'm not that, I don't want to share. I did a little bit of it, but it wasn't as good as I'd like. So did anybody do the assignment to the extent that they would like to share it with the group?
Okay. Well, now we know.
I did the assignment.
All right.
Yes, I did the assignment the same day as we were speaking.
Go, girl. Well, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. I caught myself on that one.
Phil's going to get you, Phil. Phil's going to get you, Phil.
So are you willing to share?
Yes. So
oh, wow.
I know that Adrian has started off. She wanted to do it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to join you and do it. Doing it. So it was like the formula of building a burning desire. So I did mine off of doing the 7-day fast. So I did mine off of that. So I just created a list of things that I wanted to get like a return back from God. So I created my list of things that I felt like I missed out on or I lost it, and I created another list of the things that I want from him in 7 days. So with that being said, I created my 6 step. So the first thing that I did on that list was start off but with the expectation of my monthly goal that I want to reach. And I wanted to start off with $5,000 monthly. Then I want to add it to $5,000 weekly. And then the second step I put on there is I would give my services in order to reach $5,000 monthly. What would I willing to do is I would give my services for others and my gifts to help others. That's what I'm willing to do to reach that goal monthly or weekly. And the third thing was... I expect $5,000 before the end of next month. I expect that. Then the fourth thing I put on there is by me planning out my actions, I will do the 7-day fast or 7-day challenge. I will be making healthy choices. So within doing the 7-day challenge, it was like I know that I was given a challenge to eat healthy and do like a spiritual fast. So on top of that, I incorporated prayer with my prayer candle and stuff like that. I incorporated prayer. Because I know that if you incorporate prayer and eating healthy, it's going to speed up the process. So number five for me, I put, I or Shia, a commit to the 7-day challenge. I created a list of things that I lost and a list of things that I will receive back. I demand $5,000 monthly before the end of next month. Everything that I've written down on this list, I shall get them back plus more. I make a commitment. I will follow through. And then I put my signature on there. And then number six, last but not least, I put, I will declare, I decree and declare that I, this goal that I have committed myself to, I will go over this goal twice every single day. That meaning I will go over the list of things that I want. I will go over it and almost like a decoration or like a, what do they call it? Affirmation. I will go over it twice. And then I said, while I'm reading this, I will visualize myself having those things in the lifestyle that I am receiving every, I will be receiving. So everything plus more on this list I already have. So that was my sixth step for the 7-day challenge slash fast. So a little update, I'm doing well on it. I'm doing well that I'm doing even more than I expected to do, because I really haven't did a fast before, like taking out this eating healthy and stuff like that. Cause I always like to eat candy and stuff like that. But this time it was something different. And actually doing this fast, the first day I did the spiritual bath, I could feel a difference the same day. So that was my sixth step.
Yeah, congratulations to you.
Good serious.
Thank you.
You do it.
Great job.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Well, Phil, I'm going to let you lead the way on that. I think that was brilliant. Next Thursday, that's how we starting. We're starting with the six steps for motivation or example. I'll paste mine. That's mine. Mine is in a paragraph. I guess you don't have to do it like that. Maybe you can do all six in consecutive order. Mine is just in one paragraph because I read it aloud. So you can either do that or do what Arshia did or do it however it flows. Let that flow, right? Yeah. Don't manipulate it anyway. Just let it come out of you. That's how my brain works. I just want to end. Yes, sir. No, please. Because I'm done. I'm going to play Elon Musk one more time.
I was 22 years old when I was exposed to Think and Grow Rich.
Wow.
I've used it with every organization that I've been involved in. It was the first book I gave to Susan.
Wow.
Think of what had to happen for us to move from Columbus, Ohio to Fort Lauderdale to take care of Susan's mother, to then be able to work with Les Brown. And people are not going to know what Susan did for that organization in the position she was in. Yeah, they will never understand the value she provided to them.
No way.
What she did for them. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And then from then be transformed over to be working with you for all these years and to be with a group that is going to work together to make Think and Grow Rich a reality.
Wow.
Is something I can't thank God enough for.
Wow. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Yeah. Thank you for the clap, because I was going to cry. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. No, that is, I'm going to just play these two clips. No, yeah, that is, let me just say this. Y'all, what if what Phil just said, what if it's true? The astronaut said, wouldn't you like to go back in time? Howard Hughes? What if we're the new Howard Hughes? What if we're on to something? What if God uses this company to change the world? And what Phil just said is quite prophetic. So we have a reasonable service to make sure he looks like a prophet and those words get heard by the world. Call is being recorded. Last two things, and I ain't saying nothing. Elon Musk fired me up. I can't even.
Not knowing anything about rockets, not having ever built anything. I mean, I would have to be insane if I thought the odds were in my favor.
Why even begin?
When something is important enough, you do it even though the odds are not in your favor.
How much of your personal fortune?
Come on, y'all. If something is important enough, you do it even if the odds are not in your favor. That's burning desire. Let me just.
Man booster called the Falcon 1.
Falcon has cleared the tower.
But the first three test flights failed to reach orbit.
We are hearing from the Launch Control Center that there has been an anomaly on the.
Look at this guy's body language, real quick. He's embarrassed. Military intelligence taught me that. He's trying to hide. Look at his body language.
Failed to reach orbit.
We are He's hearing hiding. From the Launch Control Center that there has been an anomaly on the vehicle.
When you had that third failure in a row.
Wait. He's clearly talking to Elon Musk. He's hiding. He's protecting. He's hiding from the camera and protecting the conversation in his ear. This is not filmed to this guy.
Three test flights failed to reach orbit.
We are hearing from the Launch Control Center that there has been an anomaly on the vehicle.
When you had that third failure in a row, did you think, I need to pack this in?
Never.
Why not?
I don't ever give up. I mean, I'd have to be dead or completely incapacitated.
Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can't play better. You can dominate. Thank y'all so much. We'll see you next Thursday. That man taught the whole class.
Love you.
Love you more. And to think, I just accidentally picked that video clip. All right, y'all. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.